Jesus many times spoke in stories for people to understand what it was like and what Jesus was trying to portray, give them an idea from the things around them. So Jesus begins speaking, and we're going to be in Matthew chapter 5, and he's talking about the Beatitudes. And he begins speaking to the fishermen and the peasants and some of the others that were there, and he begins to speak and say, "Blessed is the poor in spirit." They understood what poor meant. Many of them had one room. That's where they lived. They just had one room, and they knew what Jesus meant. Blessed are they that mourn. They're saying, man, we're challenged with life. They could connect with what he meant. But yet he expounded on heaven, and he gets down to verse 13, and he says, "Ye are the salt of the earth." And he goes on, he says, if you lose your savor or the saltiness, what good are you? Then he goes down in verse 14, and he continues and says, "Ye are the light of the world." Now it was morning, the sun was rising, the shadows of the trees and the shadows of the hills and all were starting to dissipate because the sun is rising. And he now looks and he says, "You're the light of the world." And then he goes on and he says in verse 14, "A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid." He's probably looking over the Sea of Galilee as a light sparkles across the lake, and he sees a city up on a hill, and he says, "You can't hide the city that's up on a hill." Jesus goes on, and he says, "Who lights a candle and puts it under a bushel?" Jesus then says, "No, you take that candle and you put it on a lampstand that the whole house is lit up." But just before that, he said, "You're the salt of the earth. What happens when you lose its saltiness? What do you do with it? It's not good for anything." Jesus says, "You're the light of the world, but how can we be the light of the world? Only through Christ." Christ himself says, "When I'm in the world, I am the light of the world." But Jesus now has a plan. Jesus now has a plan, and he goes on and he says in verse 16, here's what it says, Matthew 5, 16, it says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." He said, "Let your light shine." He didn't say, "Strive to let your light shine." He says, "Let it shine." You know, Jesus was trying to get them to understand something about their who they were. They were the light of the world. What was the message that he wanted to share? Let's go to Matthew chapter 28, 19 through 20. And here's what Jesus says to the disciples now as he gets ready to go to heaven. Here's what he says. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Jesus is promising now, you're going to be this light and you're going to let it shine through the rest of the world. That's what I'm commissioning you to do. Also in Revelation, here's what it says, and we know this one from what we've heard so far many times at Granite Bay. "And I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwelt on the earth, in every nation, kindred, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God and give him glory, for the hour of his judgment has come. Worship him that made the heavens and the earth, the sea and the fountains of waters. One of the things Jesus wanted them to realize, if you lose your saltiness, will this happen? This won't happen. Don't lose your saltiness. You're the light of the world. You have something I want you to share. I'm commissioning that to you. Jesus then, later on, before he goes, he shares this parable about the talents. Why does he share this parable about the talents? What are some of the prerequisites that were going on prior to him sharing this parable? Let's go to Matthew chapter 24, verse 3. Now, Matthew chapter 24 is dealing with a lot of things that happen right before Christ comes. And here's what the disciples come to him and say. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" What are they wanting to know? Signs of the coming of the end of the world. So Jesus now is going to expound and look at verse 12 and 14. If you're in your Bible, or you can look on the screen, and here's what it says. "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall grow cold, but he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. And the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world as a witness unto all nations, then the end shall come." Because iniquity shall abound. Who's he talking to here? He's talking to the disciples, and he's sharing the world is going to get so great that the love for God is going to get cold, including those of his disciples and all of those. Love was going to get cold. We've seen many times when Jesus was walking on the earth, many left him. There's a time when this is going to get cold, but look what Jesus says. "But to him that does what? Endure to the end shall be saved." Then he says, end. It's getting finished now. And what does he say? "The gospel of the kingdom shall be preached" where? "In all the world." He's trying to get them to see this is going to take place at the end of time. Are you going to endure? And the gospel's going to go. The gospel's going to go. It starts building here as he look at the next thing that he does. If you're in Matthew, you can go to 24 verse 18. How do I know that he's sharing about the gospel going out? Look what it says here. Matthew 24 verse 45 and through 47. Who then is faithful and a wise servant, who his Lord hath made ruler over his household, is giving them meat in due season. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. Jesus now is going on after he shares some of the things that are going to happen in this world. You know, there's going to be false prophets and false Christs. What does he do? He goes back to his servants who are going to be doing what? Blessed are those servants whom his Lord, when he what? Cometh, shall find doing. He's looking for those that are going to endure. Their love is going to be so great for them, they are going to continue doing the gospel message. They're going to be there and they're going to hold on till the very end. Those are the ones that are going to endure and be those that are going to be standing on the sea of glass. Those that endure. What's the next thing we see there? We see Jesus now is sharing the story in Matthew 25. The very next verse is right there. In Matthew 25, he shares about the 10 virgins. Jesus now has gone through already. He says, you're the light of the world. Don't lose your saltiness. And then he goes on and he says, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world. You're this light. And now we have this, and he talks about this servant also that needs to be faithful to the end. And here we have the 10 virgins. Now 5 are wise, 5 are foolish. 5 of them have oil, 5 of them don't. What does oil represent? The Holy Spirit. Jesus is sharing, you're going to be the light of the world, but you need the Holy Spirit to make it through. Don't be sleeping like the others. Don't be without oil like the others. And Jesus goes on, and they are the ones with oil and have the Holy Spirit are going forward, and they get to go with the bridegroom. Then Jesus moves on. Then Jesus begins, and he starts talking about the talents. Now, this is the part that I was excited about. Now, I went to AFCO about in 06, and one of the things about AFCO is, you know, I learned how to, I knew how to talk to church people. I knew how to talk to Adventists, but I didn't know how to talk to the world. And so my desire was to talk to, how can I witness? How can I share? And we always get this fear which comes along. This parable to me helped me overcome that. And I want to share some of that with you. As I was going through AFCO and I was reading more, this one helped me as I was going through. This is the first thing he says in Matthew 25, verse 14. You know, let me just jump back here just for a minute. You know, when I was thinking about, I was reading about, you are the light of the world. And, you know, I couldn't help but think about when I was reading about the city that's on a hill. Where is our new church plant going to be? Where is it? Up on that little hill over there. You know, it's going to be sort of a, there's a lot of people that would like to have a little place right on top there. But God has given us a little place right on top there. We're going to be a light to the community of Granite Bay, correct? Amen. But with amazing facts in the media, where are we going to be a light to? The world. That's what Jesus was talking about through all of this. You guys are a light unto the world. He wasn't talking about just the church itself. I mean, he was, and who is the church? That's us. We are this light of the world. But he now, through this parable, began to teach not just, you know, the faithful, who's faithful and going to go through with this and sharing the gospel, but he's also going and he's given those that are his some good hope and able to share. Look what he says. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling in a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them their goods. Who is this servant that goes into a far country? Who is that? Jesus. Jesus was about ready to go into this far country, and then he says what? Who does he call? Now, who are his servants? We are. All of us in this room are his servants. And he does what? Delivers them whose goods? His goods. Everything that the master gives them is his. We don't own anything. What is the first thing God gives us? And we talked about it just a few minutes ago. What is the first thing God gives us before we can do anything else? The Holy Spirit. Exactly right. The Holy Spirit God gives, the Bible says, without me you can do nothing. These servants knew those possessions were not theirs. When we begin realizing that those possessions that we have are gifts that we have, and we're going to look into that a little bit, is all given by God. And look what he says. He gave unto one, he gave five, to another, he gave two and one, another one, he gave one, and every man according to his what? Ability, and straightway he took his journey. You know, Jesus now, before he sent his disciples off, he breathed on them, he gave them the Holy Spirit, very needful before anything else can take place. He gave them the Holy Spirit, and then he gives each one of the disciples a little different chore. Did they all have the same chore? We know they were going out and sharing the gospel, but many of them gave it to a little different company, to a little different people. And so Jesus now is giving his goods. And so is he now giving his goods to us? Matthew 25, 16 through 23. Look what it says. Let's go there. We're going to review here. Matthew 25, 16 through 23. Here the master goes, and the first servant that has five, what does he do with it? Begins trading them, begins using them, and he makes five more. And then the other one that had four, he does the same thing. He uses them, but what was the last one? What did he do with it? He buried it. Now, I don't know about you, but I like the last one the best, and I'll share why in just a moment. The others, and the master comes back, and he says, I'm back now. What is it that we have done? And the one that says five, he says, look, I've made five more. And he says what? What does he say to them? Well done, thou good and faithful servant, whom hath been faithful over a few things, I will make thee rule over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Jesus now, through this servant, he's speaking and he gives him the blessings for multiplying. What does he do with the two? What's the guy that had the two talents? He multiplied them and he had two more. What does Jesus say to him? What does his master say to him? Very same thing. Very same thing. And so the reward is given out. Now the question is, does God give us talent? Do we have talents that we can use for the Lord? The Bible tells us in this story that he gave all his servants talents, correct? Yes, he did. Do we have talent? Look at this, what I found here. It says, is that a Christ object lessons? To his servants, Christ committed his goods, everything to be put to the use for him. He gives to every man his work. Each has his place in the eternal plan of heaven. Each is to work in cooperation with Christ for the salvation of souls. Now, no more surely is a place prepared for us in the heavenly mansions than is a special place designated on earth where we are to work for who? There's a place down here for every single one of us to work. God has given all of us a talent. Praise the Lord. Couple things about talents. Couple things we need to remember about talents. One of them is the talents, we don't possess them. They're not ours. God gives them. The Bible says all good things come from who? God. So they're His for us to use. It is not the amount of talent, but whether we use them that counts. The one that had five, he wasn't interested on how many talents he had, or the one that had two. He just said the same thing to both of them. So the one that had one talent, he would have said the same thing to if he was faithful. And God does not choose us because we are perfect, but because of being connected with Him, we may gain perfection. Praise God for that. You know, when I think about the disciples, when did He first send them out? When did He first send them out? Did He only send them out after He was gone to heaven? No, He sent them out way before. And when they came back, what did they say? Man, all the spirits, they were listening to us. They were just so excited. Was that the spirit Christ wanted? He says, no, just be thankful your name is written in heaven. He was working with people that aren't perfect. That puts all of us in that category, doesn't it? Jesus was willing to work with them. He can work with us at any stage where we are. Now, what are some talents God gives us? Thinking. Does God want us to reason with Him? He says, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, God wants us to contemplate on Him what He is doing. As we contemplate on Him, what begins to happen in the heart? Begins to change. That change is what God wants to use to go and tell the world. That change is what, as we contemplate and we study and we look at Christ and we, what is it you want me to do, Lord? As we contemplate on that, He begins to change the heart. What about speech? Is speech very important? Is that a talent that He gives all of us? Yes, He does. Speech. I know many of you don't like to stand up front. I'm not one that loves to go up front, but I'm standing here, and He works with me on that. Praise the Lord. Speech is very important. This is one thing that God has given us that we can share our testimony. Whatever God has done for us, we can be a witness and promote the everlasting gospel that must go on. Don't get weary of using your testimony. Look what the Bible says. Isaiah 50, verse 4. The Lord God has given me a tongue of the learned that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He waketh morning by morning. He waketh mine ear to hear as the learned. What's he saying now? He's given me a tongue to speak, but he's also given me an ear to learn. Thinking. Influence. How much does our influence affect people? If I'm standing at the grocery line and I have sort of a straight face, what kind of impression does that give to the lady behind the counter? Or what if I go up to the lady and I have a smile on my face? Does that change things? our actions, our influence, what we say, what we do, what everything that we do and say has an influence on someone. God has given a gift so we can use those influences. Look what it says in 1 Corinthians 10:13. Whether ye therefore eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do what to the glory of God? God wants us to do all to the glory of God. What about time? Is that a talent? Do some of us use time better than others? My wife says I could use time better sometimes than others. There's sometimes, yes, I could use the time at home better, you know, as sort of a time I just relax, but there's things to do around the house, so I could use time better sometimes. Time is something that, if we have too much time on our hands, what takes place? Usually trouble sometimes if we have too much time on our hands. Time is a train that carries either good or evil. What we do with our time is very important. And God gives us all a talent, and what are we doing with that? How about other talents? Does God have other talents that he gives each one of us that we can use for the being the light of the world and spreading the gospel? Is there anything else? It's not just speaking. Speaking is very important. There's a lot of things we can do. What about encouraging people? Maybe there's a neighbor or friend that is sick in the hospital. Can you send a card to them encouraging them? Sure you could. Can you feed the homeless? Yes, you can do that. Can you minister to those that are in prison? Can you write a letter just encouraging them? Yes, we can. There are so many things we can do to minister to others. You know? Look at Matthew 24 through 26. Here is now Jesus, he's talking, and he's now sharing with the one that I really enjoyed what I heard about. Look what he says here in Matthew chapter 24 through 26. And here's what he says. Then he which had received the one talent looked and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not shewed. And I was afraid and went and hid the talent in the earth, and lo, there thou hast is thine. And the Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked servant. Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knowest that I reap where I sow not, and I gather where I have not sown. Okay, let's stop there just for a minute. Here we see the one guy, he's buried his talent, the master comes back, doesn't do anything, and he just hands it back. What does he say to him? What does he say to him? He said in verse 25, and I was what? Afraid. He knew the master and his mission is so great, he's just fearful to use his talents forward. And so he decides to bury it. Are we sometimes fearful to use our talents for others? Yes. I was fearful to use it, and I still am. This is not something that goes away. Sometimes it's family. Whatever it is, we're fearful sometimes of using some of the talents that God gives us. But look now, this is the part that I like. Look what he says. This encouraged me, this verse right here. He says, thou oughtest have therefore to put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. The disciples and Jesus and us, as we go out, we do not always have a result as the other two had. We don't see results with what we share sometimes. But he says what? He says, put it in the exchangers. What are the exchangers? Sort of like a stockbroker. You put your money out there, you put your talents out there, but you don't know how much interest you're really going to come back with, do you? You don't know. He says, put it out there, and then what does he say? Then at my what? Coming, what's there going to be? I'm going to receive my usury. As we go out sometimes, this is what was exciting to me. I was sort of afraid to share. And I still am at times, but I know one thing. Throw it to the exchangers. Just say something when you're going through the grocery line and just say, have a blessed day. You don't know what that is going to do until you get to heaven. To me, this is encouraging because I don't have to look for the results here. God just says, he says, all you had to do is put it out there and it will come back. It will come back. We are sometimes afraid to just share. But God says, just put it out there. When I come, I shall have received mine own with usury. Praise God for that. You know, here's what Jesus says. Ye are my witness, says the Lord. This is Isaiah 43:10. And my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he, and before me there is no other, neither shall there be after me. According to this text, who is the witnessing profiting to? Those that witness, who is it profiting to? What's it say there? That ye may know and believe. So if we're God's witnesses, he calls us to witness. It's a benefit to us. Look what I found. Amazing grace. The spirit of a selfish, unselfish labor for others gives depth and stability and Christ-like loveliness to the character. Those who thus devote themselves to unselfish efforts for the good of others are most surely working out their what? Own salvation. The only way to grow in grace is to engage to the extent of our abilities to help and bless those who need the help we can give them. All God is asking is throw it out there. Whatever it is, if it's hospitality, just invite your neighbors over for lunch. You might not see what the results is, but God promises it's going to come back with usury. If we're just writing a letter to a prisoner, it's going to come back with usury. Praise God for that. This gives me hope. I don't have to worry so much, am I seeing any results? This is a promise God gives. And it's to our benefit that we share this gospel. Jesus points the way. Jesus points the way. He told the world, he told them on the Beatitudes, and he shared them. He says, you're the salt of the earth. Don't lose your saltiness. And he says, you're the light of the world. Let your light shine. And then he tells them, it's time to go out. Go out and share the gospel. We see it in Revelation. It's the gospel is going to go to all the world, and he's pointing the way. And Jesus says, are we going to be a faithful servant? Is he going to find us so doing? And then he says, I'm going to promise you faith. You'll have faith. You're going to let your light shine. And I'm going to give you the gifts to do it in. What more can we ask? He gives us everything we need. You know, I want to share a story. There was a gentleman, he had some trouble with his business. His competitors were, and some of you might have heard this story, the competitors were giving him a hard time, and so he's talking to a friend of his, and he says, man, these competitors are giving me a hard time, and the man says, I want you to do one thing. And you must, some of you might have heard the story. I want you to do one thing. He says, I want you to go to the train depot. And I want you to watch the trains as they come in. And I want you to stay there for several hours and just tell me what you see. And the man goes and he finds a little bit of time from his business. And he sits down there and he's at the train depot. And he's watching the trains go by. And the day was done, and he goes back, and he finally meets his friend a couple days later, and the friend says, well, what did you see? Did you get to go to the train depot? And the guy says, yeah, well, what did you see there? And he says, well, and he's scratching his head. He says, all I saw was trains coming in, and all of a sudden, those dogs that were just laying around there, they just got up and barked at the train, and the train goes whizzing by, and the dogs go back to sleep again. And he says, and another train comes by, the dogs go barking away, and the train just goes whizzing by and goes back to sleep. This happened over and over again, he says. And a man just looked at him and says, that's what I want you to focus on. You are that train. If the train stopped for every barking dog, it would never get to its destination. Christ wants to come. He says we need this message to go to the world, and he promises he's going to give us the Spirit to go with that. And he says, don't get distracted by Satan in anything that he tries to get us to do. He gave us a calling. Go and tell it to the world. We have a God that gives us everything we need to share this gospel. We don't need to be afraid. We can just share our talents. If we're afraid to come up here and speak like the evangelists do, that's fine. God gives us all to our ability. Praise God for that. The Lord wants to come very soon, doesn't he? Let us turn to our closing song, 367, Rescue the Perishing.